Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. So happy for you guys to be joining us tonight. As always, I pray that you get something from this, that you learn something from this preaching series. So far, we've went through Psalms 1 and 2. The first psalm was broken down into two parts, and the second psalm was broken down into three parts. Tonight we'll be in Psalms 3. That's Psalms 3. And we're going to read verse 1 through 8, and we're going to see where the Lord leads us tonight. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Shallah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, the lifter of my head. I cried to the Lord my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Shallah. I lay me down in sleep, I awaken, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save, O my God, for ye have smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings is upon me. Your people, Shallah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight in your presence. Word of this day has brought us what troubles may be on our mind. Let's give those all to you and rest in that peace. That peace that surpasses all of human understanding. When life hits us so hard and we can barely breathe, let's realize there is rest, there is peace within your embrace. To know that we are not alone. To know that this world is not our home. To know that one day we will be looking at you and the things of this world will be past. All our troubles, all our pain, all our suffering, all our tears will be gone. No more. No more of that. Let's cling to that hope. Let's cling to that hope through all the pain. Let's cling to that hope through all the suffering. Let's cling to the cross. Oh, that cross. The cross, oh, salvation, the blood that was spilt for a sinner like me, a cross that I deserved, but you took it. Lord, give me strength, give us strength to pick up that cross and to deny ourselves daily, to beat our flesh in submission daily and keep on pressing to the end. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the background, you may hear some rain. We are getting some rain here where I'm at in Hicks, Louisiana. So you may hear that in the background. Man, Psalms 3. You know, Psalms 1, 2, and 3, man. Psalms is such a beautiful... I find a lot of encouragement when I read the Psalms. And I pray that you are. And I pray that through this study you will find more appreciation for the Psalms. That you cling more to the Psalms when you're going through things in life. with this psalm, there's several points we need to take into account here. First is that David, this psalm is speaking of a time in David's life. And the second is, the psalms has a deeper meaning. It goes beyond what David is experiencing here. Beyond well, it puts us to realize that we are not alone, that we are. Sometimes the devil wants, well, a lot of times the devil wants to make us feel like we are alone, that we're going through this life all by ourselves. Vernon McGee says this, trials and sorrows are shared by all godly people, regardless of who they are or in what period of history they live. The comfort given in this psalm, in the Psalm 4, 5, 6, and 7 that we will be going into throughout the months. These psalms is for all of God's children. See, in this psalm, David, this psalm is referring to a time in his life that he had to flee from Absalom, his son. And if you're curious about this historical account of David's life, it can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 18. Simply put, David allowed sin, and his sin compounds sins right in his life, and he had to experience the consequence of those sins. Never think we will not experience the consequence of our sins. Yes, God will forgive us, but the consequence of that sin will follow us, or can follow us. Don't think it doesn't. For example, committing adultery. God will forgive that, right? Yes, He will. But you may lose your marriage. Your children may resent you. Your friends may shun you. There may be hostility toward you. Your children may grow up, or children may grow up hating you. There is a consequence. Sin is ugly. Sin is still sin. God calls sin. Sin is still sin as it was in David's time as a day. Oh, how we don't want to speak on sin because we may hurt somebody's feelings. Sin. We don't have to try to figure out what sin is. The scriptures are very clear. I was looking at Galatians 5, 19 through 21. That's Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. You know, we look at idolatry, and idolatry is really simple. Putting something in front of God. Witchcraft. Oh, how it, you know, when you look at the Harry Potter series, and Christians are supporting these series and encouraging their kids to watch witchcraft. The evil works itself in. You got Disney. Oh, Disney. You start talking about Disney, all the people start, they're like, oh, you're being a Pharisee. Oh, you're being a Sadducee. No, I'm being biblical. Witchcraft. Practicing witchcraft. You're letting your kids watch that demonic magic, and it's entering their hearts. Oh, you want to take a marker and mark it out? Or you want to say, oh, I don't want to hear that part of it. You got sin in your life. You're watching these shows. You're letting your kids watch these shows. Your life is tainted with sin, but you're expecting God to do mighty works in your life. It's not happening. What I call pseudo revivals, false revivals. They're thinking they're achieving something, and the devil's hand is all in motion because they're not preaching the truth of the gospel. They're preaching lies or half-truths. Hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, such like of which I would tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things, and I did not write this, Paul wrote this, greater men than me. And of course, the Holy Spirit was moving him. He says, which do such things shall not inherit. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. So all these things you're doing and you're unrepented of. Or you say, oh, you know what? I ain't going to believe that part. And the Holy Spirit's not tugging on your heart. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, you can stand in front of the pulpit. And you may encourage people to truly accept Jesus into their life. And they will. But for your salvation is lost. Which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You encourage it. You do it. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's really that simple. Oh, how we want to make it so complicated. It's not. I know I probably lost many that were listening to this after that. One thing that will not be on my conscience when I look at Jesus, anybody at the sound of my voice will have heard the truth. You can throw a rock and hit a million false teachers and a million pastors with a Joel Osteen sermon. Oh, love, love, love. Have your best life now. Don't speak on sin. Don't speak on hell. Don't speak on this. That's all critical to salvation. Oh, you don't have to surrender nothing. You can live your life any way you want. Oh, this progressive Christianity that's infiltrated our churches. Oh, America, you will fall, your churches. You harlots of Satan. The church, that is, if it is a true church of God, will hear sound doctrine, will hear sound preaching coming from the Word of God. Galatians 5:19-21 is, there's no gray area. It's there. It's plain and simple. Oh, how we want to try to explain it away. No. Even if you look at the contents, go over there, Matthew 7. It speaks of a lot of things. Most of the most popular passages in Matthew 7:1, I call it the judge ye, yes, judge, lest ye be judged, saints. Oh, how they want to smear that verse and blot the whole Bible out. Just blot out the whole chapter. Right? There's hard truths in Matthew 7. Once again, I do not try to give you my opinion. I give you straight from the Word of God. So if you get angry, get angry. But don't get angry at me, but you will. But you, when you get angry at men of God proclaiming the gospel in this lost and perverse generation as the days of Noah. Oh, how the world has rubbed into our churches. Matthew 7. You got 7:1 is judge not lest ye not be judged. But they don't continue on. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with that measure ye shall be measured to you again. And why behold thou the mote that is thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam in thy own eye? Oh, how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thy hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eyes. What is Jesus telling us here? We are supposed to examine our lives. We are supposed to. How do you pull a brother aside and tell him cheating on your wife? That's adultery, man. And you're doing it. You have no right to center on somebody else's sin that you are gladly endorsing and living in. That is what Jesus is talking about here. Oh, how we don't read the full contents of the scriptures. Verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swans, lest thou trample them under thy feet, turn again, rent you. Jesus knew these messages would go out. Jesus knew these are pearls, but they will be trampled on because it doesn't fit American Christianity. Progressive Christianity. But we keep on reading on. And some of the, you gotta read the whole contents. Let's skip over here to chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatever ye would that man should do to you, do it even so then, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there will be which go thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And then he says, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep clothing, but inward they are raving wolves. Oh, majority of our churches have raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bring for good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring for evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bring not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you will know them. To point somebody's fruits out is not being judgmental. By their fruits you will know them. And not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say, when Jesus is saying many, he is speaking a majority of people, period, in this world. Many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out demons. In thy name done many wonderful works. In thy name done this revival. Oh, in your name, then I'll lead these other people to you. In your name. And then Jesus, will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, that ye work of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine, do them, I will liken to him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. A wise man. Many, you will hear these words of Jesus, the word of God. If you hear this, he will put that as a wise man, a smart man, an intelligent man, the wisdom of God, right? He built his house upon a rock. and the rain descended. It came down, it flood came, and the wind blew and beat up on this house. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Amen. Everyone that hear these sayings of mine and do them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Those who choose to hear this message in Matthew 7, hear these verses, they choose not to listen. They are considered a foolish man. In the Greek, that is a stupid man. And of course, that would be humanity. That would be man or woman which built his house up on the sand. And guess what? When the rain descended up and the floods came, the wind blew and beat up on that house, it fell. And great, great was the fall. Crazy. Don't be deceived. You know what amazes me is you have Jesus, the promised Messiah. And these educated Pharisees and Sadducees, they couldn't even see it. They couldn't even see the truth that was right there in their face. The sad truth is how many today, Jesus' many, will see the truth. They will hear the truth. And they will say, that will not fit in my Christianity. That will not fit in how I want to view Christianity. There's only one way to view Christianity is through the scriptures. Sin is devastating. Sin is like a cancer. It will eat you from the inside out. When we look at sin, it always starts in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. If you guys heard me preach on this website or in person in salvation to me, and when you're preaching a whole salvation message, Adam and Eve needs to come up. You have to preach the whole counsel of salvation. And tonight I wasn't really going to hit too much on salvation in that sense. But man, the Holy Spirit's all over this one. So we may not get through this message. For some reason the Holy Spirit's all over this. Somebody needs to hear this message tonight. Adam and Eve. You see, God created this world. I know many will try to argue a evolutional point of view. And I want to tell you, if you're buying into evolution or trying to use evolution as to explain religion, you have failed into the trap that the devil wants you. Evolution should even come into the conversation in a sense. God don't need evolution. God spoke this world into existence through His Word. See, that's what they want you to make you to believe. They want to make you believe that God had to use a mechanism, evolution. No, He spoke. When He spoke, His words are powerful. He spoke this world into existence. 6 days. He created a man, Adam, dirt man, from the dust of the earth, from the dirt of the earth. Credit Eve. A little bit after. And they were supposed to tend this garden. They were keepers of this beautiful paradise. Where everything was in unity. Everything was perfect. The animals, they did not hurt each other. Adam and Eve did not have no pain. They had no suffering. They had no tears. Every need was met. Every need was met, guys. Every need. Genesis 3:1. Satan enters a serpent, and some will take that as just a symbolic. I take it Satan entered a serpent and was able, Eve allowed the conversation to take place about this one commandment, just one, to not eat of a particular tree. That tree of knowledge of good and evil. God told Adam, if you surely eat of this tree, you will die. And we know that Eve were very aware of it, because she mentioned in the conversation with the serpent that that was a tree that they were not supposed to eat, for they would surely die. Death. But she allowed herself to go into that conversation with Satan. Oh, how those thoughts come to our minds. And Eve allowed herself to be deceived. And Adam sit there and watch all of it. Eve took the first bite, then Adam followed shortly after. And sin, the curse, came into this world. Sin destroys. They were supposed to live forever. And now, they were going to have to experience a physical death. They were going to die. But not just a physical death. Now there was a spiritual death. And that's what we will see in Genesis 3. God had to kill. Blood had to be shed. Temporarily. To clothe them. To forgive them. And he had to promise, Genesis 3:15, of the coming of the Messiah, the one who would start setting things in motion. But before that, this sacrificial system would start taking place. And see, Adam and Eve had that promise, that hope of that salvation at that garden of a coming. They had faith. We know that. We see that they taught it with their children. When Eve gave birth, she said she thought that was the child, but no. The first murder, first human murder took place. And if you keep on reading through the Old Testament, you will see, man, it's graphic, right? If somebody did a movie of the Old Testament, a true movie, it'd be NC-17. Most people couldn't even watch it. It'd be so bloody. The rating system said, we can't rate this. That's what sin does. That's what our depravity is. Our sinful nature to God. We are deprived. We have a borrowed robe of righteousness. Borrow. Because our righteousness are nothing but filthy rags. That is used tampons. That's our filthiness. Oh, how we think we are so special. We are sinful. That should humble us. That should break us. Sin is not acceptable. To live in your sin, to be okay with your sin, is unacceptable. Spiritual death, that second death, there's two deaths. There's that physical death. If God does not come back for us through the rapture anytime soon, we will all have a physical death. And within that physical death, what will matter if we are truly a child of God, if we are truly have committed our lives to Jesus. Committed our lives to Jesus. To believe is to commit. A lot of people will take Romans 10 and distort it. Romans 10:8. But what said the Lord is nigh thee, even thy mouth and thy heart is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe, and believe is to commit in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and shall be saved. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth the Lord confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? All that is truth. But we got to look at the words of the scripture and how the distortion is. Oh, just say these few words, you're saved. Go about your merry way. No. When we confess, what are we confessing? What are we now believing? I don't know if you like watching sports. You will see some athletes that will shine higher than the others because they're all in. The blood, the sweat, the guts, they're all in. They have counted the cost. We surrender our hearts to the cross. And when we do that, we recognize that blood that was shed at the cross. We recognize Jesus, the Son of God. He was the only Son of God, the begotten Son of God, and he was given to this world as prophesied in or promised in Genesis 3:15. He came into the world to pay that price that we cannot pay, that we could not pay from the beginning. It was our fault. We deserve the cross. We deserve the nails. We deserve hanging on that cross. But he took that penalty. He paid that price. He was taken from that cross. He was laid in that tomb. And on that third day, he rose. And when he rose, he was seen by many. He rose from the grave. And he, at that point, he showed what a glorified body will be when we are connected with our glorified body one day. Until then, we have to live in this corrupt vessel. This vessel that gets sick. This vessel that has to fight the flesh daily. But he said, I will not leave you alone. I will give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, inside of you. That will come in there and he will comfort you through everything. But here's the thing, there's a cost that's involved in that commitment to believe. Are you all in? Are you willing to surrender it all, regardless what the cost may be? Maybe it's imprisonment. Don't think that won't happen in America. If you don't keep track of the times, they want to pass bills here in America that will make it illegal to preach against homosexuality. Equality Act. Look it up. The Equality Act. With that, if that ever gets passed, how many people, how many preachers will stand in the pulpit and proclaim sin is still sin, even homosexuality, regardless, they may end up in jail. I can almost promise you, there won't be many. Heart's not in it. It's not popular right now to do, to stand. It's not popular to do it now that is bill passed, I may go to jail. Oh, look out how many churches closed because of COVID. Boy, we got faith. Yeah, you got faith, all right. If you shut your doors because of COVID, I should tell you where your spiritual walk with God is. Oh, we want a revival. Yeah. You want something, that's for sure. We commit ourselves to Jesus fully, counting the cost, whatever it may cost. That should be part of that. I don't care what it costs, Jesus, I'm all in. If it calls me to be put in jail, so be it. If it calls me to lose my life, so be it. If it calls me for other people to look at me like I've lost my mind and they don't want to listen to it because there's that madman, guess who else was considered a madman? Jesus. Radical. Noah. Paul, Peter, John, they are all considered radical. John the Baptist. It says in the Bible, I believe it's Matthew 24, speaks of as the days of Noah. Don't quote me on that. I definitely went off script tonight because the Holy Spirit was just wanting me to go into salvation. We come committed. And then when we keep that in perspective and we read through Romans 10, 8 through 14. That if thou confess with thy mouth, you confess for the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart. To believe is to commit, and to commit it, where you're committing to, you're committing to, I'm all in. Jesus tells us we have to count the costs. He spoke hard truths. The problem is our churches preaching hard truths in America? When somebody leads a revival and they say, oh, I'm saved. And somebody approach them, what do you mean that you're saved? Oh, you know, I believe in Jesus tonight. I believe that He's the Son of God. And I believe this. Even the devils believe and tremble. There's more to salvation than that. That's the half-truths. See, people are trying to stack the deck. They're trying to make themselves look good. Oh, there was 200 people saved tonight. Oh, there was 500 people saved tonight. Oh, there was this many people baptized tonight. Praise Jesus. I hope they all truly converted. And they know what they just signed up for. The foxes have holes. The birds in the air have nests who lay there to nest. But the Son of Man is homeless. You want to be homeless for Jesus? You want to be on the street for Jesus? You don't know where your next meal is coming? Have that faith that God can rain food from heaven if He needs to. That He will provide the shelter that is needed. Oh, we should not worry about anything but have faith in all things. Oh, what kind of faith would that be? A faith to believe. A faith to keep pushing forward. A faith to say, I'm all in. I believe. I have that faith, right? We commit our lives to Jesus. It is a process in the sense of being a disciple. Salvation, discipleship, they're not separate. They go together. And that's where the bridge gets knocked down. They preach a gospel where you don't have to commit to anything. You just got to confess. Confession leads to commitment. When you confess, you commit. Simultaneously, not separate. And the process, the journey of being a disciple begins at that moment. It's not separate. Look at all the original disciples. They all suffered greatly. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Right? When we are facing many trials, that brings us to our knees. And I want to tell you, there's a time coming in America where this gospel, this progressive gospel, this dogma of a gospel that's been preached for a long time, that tells us that we can live in our sin and be okay, to tell us that we can have Jesus and there's no cost, no suffering for it. Oh, we don't have to, we can leave our Christianity at the door, but we are not supposed to carry that into the workplace. We're not supposed to carry that into the schools. We're not supposed to carry that into college. We're not supposed to carry in our families. We are supposed to leave it at the door. Oh, heaven forbid if it costs us something. Those that who endure to the end will be saved. You see, when you confess and you commit, the Holy Spirit comes into your lives. Truly commit. And that drives you. That pushes you to keep pressing forward. You may hit a roadblock and fall to the corner, but the Holy Spirit will pick you up and bring you back up and carry you. Oh, when you sin, you will be convicted. You will be chastened. You will find that the things of this world don't bring you happiness. Only the things that of God will bring you happy. Oh, we're supposed to be separate from this world, but we want to blend in. We want to look just like that world. Oh, we want to bring the world into our churches by doing all these things to track people in, when the Word of God should be the only truth that brings us in to the church, to the true church of God. I'm telling you, times are getting real, guys. As the days of Noah, why is homosexuality running rampant? It's not going nowhere. There will be a time that will coming to America where it will be against the law to preach against homosexuality. It will. Oh, just dismiss this crazy man, this wild man, for trying to proclaim the gospel and to give a warning to you. Shun me. Do it. But when you're faced with that decision, if you truly are a child of God, it won't be challenging. You will just step right off into it. Man, I wasn't planning to preach on salvation tonight, but the Holy Spirit wanted to. Somebody needs to hear it, so there it is. We did not really get to go through Psalms tonight. Next week, Lord willing, we will go through Psalms 3. But tonight, don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. If somebody tells you that you can live in your sin and be okay, and guys, I mean, sin is, it's all in the Bible. You don't have to guess. I gave Galatians 5:19 through 21, and you can go to Romans 1:20 through 32. I mean, there's passages after passage on sin. You don't have to scratch your head to figure out what sin is. And if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you will know when you're doing something against God. I feel it. I feel the conviction and the chastisement. When I do something I know I'm not supposed to do. And I thank God for that, because it wanted thing for certain assures me that I am a child of God. I would not be feeling so much conviction, chastisement of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? It leads me to repentance. Turning away from that. Turning away from it. And getting on my face before a holy God and said, Lord, you know me. You know I'm prone to go over this way and go this way, Lord. And I'm crying and I'm pleading. I know God hears, but my heart's broken. That's what sin is supposed to do to us. It's supposed to break our hearts and drive us to repentance. Not, oh, I'm going to live my sin. It's okay. God loves me anyway. I don't go out and hang out with my buddies and drink and go to the strip club. Or I'm going to go watch that dirty movie and, you know, I'm going to do all this stuff. But, you know, Sunday comes around, I'm going to get up there and preach a really good message, so it doesn't matter. The conviction of the Holy Spirit should be so strong in your life. You know, it's just amazing. It's like one example is Harry Potter. It's witchcraft. Pure witchcraft. But it's glorified. Disney. Glorified witchcraft. Frozen. Popular. Kids wearing the shirts. Churches promoting it. They're glorifying witchcraft. What kind of spirit are they entertaining? Even the devil speaks in tongues. We are supposed to try every spirit. Oh, this is a sign that you're saved, speaking in tongues, okay? You better try that spirit, because there's nowhere in the Bible where it says you have to be to speak in tongues to be saved. Show me one scripture where it says that. It doesn't. Be careful what spirits you're entertaining. I believe that demonic devil don't even hide anymore. He's right there in the church. The world's, the church has blended into the world. He can't even tell it to most churches today the difference. And when hard times come, they're gonna fall. They're going to fall. In a sense, they're going to blend right into this world more. Like accepting homosexuality as normal. It's already happening in America. They're putting, I think it's the Methodist Church, lesbian pastors, transgender pastors. I mean, it's happening. It's just a matter of them passing a few, well, actually one legislation, the equality bill. And when they do that, then it's going to be, they're going to be wide open. No protection for religious freedom at all. Sin is still sin. Sin should break our hearts. The original sin, the garden, Adam and Eve, sin came into the world because of disobedience against God. That sin compounds sin, the curse on this world. We live in a curse. We live in a fleshly body. And that's why Jesus had to come into this world, so he can fulfill prophecy that he could die on that cross. That blood, the true blood, had to fall for our atonement. The atonement of our sins. We can come right where we're at right now and confess our sins to a holy and righteous God every time we sin against him. And people say, oh, when we mess up. No, we sin. Quit trying to clean the language up. We sin. We break God's heart. You don't feel the conviction, the chastisement of that. You got problems. And that blood had to be shed. He had to die on that cross. And we know he didn't stay on that cross. And we know he rose that third day. And this is so beautiful. And we know he was seen by many. And we know that he gives us the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Oh, how it burns in my loins. I can feel the power of the Holy Spirit burning in my loins to proclaim the gospel when I know it's not going to be popular, and I know I won't be popular, and I know this could get me in trouble, but I don't care. I'm going to proclaim it anyway. Not because I'm special, because I love God. I love truth. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives. Oh, that change. We are no longer the same. Or we're not supposed to be the same. We are supposed to be different. Regeneration. I didn't really talk about that. It's all the Holy Spirit. I did not write anything down for tonight on preaching on this salvation message. It's all from memory. Regeneration. No longer our old self. We are new. John 3. 1 through 10, we are born again. We are born again, meaning we are no longer the same. Yes, we will still fight. We will still have that struggle with our flesh. But we know through the help of the Holy Spirit, we can beat it in submission. As Paul said, I die daily. We need to die daily, starting from the very morning we wake up. Beating that flesh. How many of you guys wake up early for hours and beat your flesh in submission? How many of you guys get up in the morning praying and read your Bible, seeking His face for the day to be that light that you need to be among this lost and first generation to let the Holy Spirit pour out of you wherever you're at, from work to school to college to just going to the marketplace? Oh, how your day is filled with worship and praise. You don't have to sing it out loud. It can be in your heart. There's a presence about you that people will notice. And don't tell me that's not happening. That can't happen, because it's happened to me. And I'm nowhere special. I will have somebody come up and say, there's something about you. There's a glow about you. There's something about you. And I say, it's the Holy Spirit, brother or sister, all over me. Because I don't pretend to be something on Sunday and something different the rest of the week. You see me in the pulpit preaching the gospel. I am the same then, and I'm the same throughout the week. Not because I'm special, because I study the Word of God and what it means to be a child of God. And He says, those that endure to the end will be saved. That will endure as a soldier will be saved. If you don't want to endure, you don't want to count the cost. You want to love your sin more than God. Keep calling yourself a Christian. It's not being judgmental. It's being truthful. We, our lives, are posts to reflect a change. Oh, how I see people that are professing something they don't even know. And they're speaking just like the world. Conversation that are filthy cuss words. What's wrong with you? Don't you know filthy conversation corrupts? Don't you know that the Lord tells us that we're our conversation is supposed to appear and true and not perverse and filthy? Oh, how you mock God with your life? Don't think you will not be judged for that by God. And without the conviction, the chastisement, the Holy Spirit pushing you to repentance, and you're doing it like it's normal, no grief, no, just like normal, you're not a child of God. You're a child of Satan, and he has blinded you. These are, to me, these hard message, and this all of it's the Holy Spirit. But I was going to preach on salvation, and then I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go through my outline on Psalms 3 here. The thing is if you really want to, I guess, sum this sermon up in one sentence, is stop playing, get real. Man up, or woman up, whatever you want to look at it. Stop playing, because God's not playing. As you guys bow with me, Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to proclaim the gospel. I know us probably all over the place, but God, I pray that this reaches whoever's out there. Somebody needs to hear this message. Man, I know. I feel it. They need to hear this. If it's just one person that hears this message and it changes their lives, maybe they never heard a message like this because they're not being preached in the pulpit. Majority of the pulpits in America is not preaching these messages. They are some that are. And thank God for them. Lord, I pray it reaches whoever it needs to reach. Lord, I pray that you just guide us and you direct us the rest of this week. We lean on you, the author and the finish of our salvation. You tell us many truths in your word. You tell us what it means to be saved. You tell us that you will be with us. You tell us you will correct us when we get out of line. And thank you for that. You tell us it's not going to be an easy ride, but it's okay. You have the will. We just get out of the way and let you take over. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have any questions about this sermon, please reach out on Facebook, MeWe, Twitter, Instagram, or this website. Send me a message if you would like to talk about salvation. I can provide a very detailed, organized, scripture by scripture. Salvation is just from Genesis to Revelation. Salvation, the good news is that's pretty much, it's the whole Bible. The whole Bible tells you about salvation. So you can't just take a few scriptures and distort them. You have to look at the Bible. You have to look at Genesis and then work your way up. Hope you guys have a good night.